Let us prepare to hear Holy Scripture this day by offering the prayer of illumination. The words are on the screen or in your bulletin. Friends, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes to us from the prophet Isaiah from 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 9. Hear now this holy word. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teachings. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Thus ends our first reading for the day. Our second comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew from the third chapter. I invite you to stand as you are able in a posture of praise as we hear the good news this morning. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented Jesus, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered John, "Let it be it so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. And when Jesus came up from the water, having been baptized, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to you, God, for it. You may be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this feast of the baptism of the Lord, we come and we remember that you make all things. You make all things new, and that your creative power continues even today amongst us. And so as we hear the words of the prophet and we hear the story of Jesus' baptism, may we receive your grace and your spirit to be made new in our time of gathering today. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have a t-shirt, and I'm like, man, I would probably get into big trouble if I wore jeans and a t-shirt to church today, but maybe I could get away with it. But the t-shirt itself says, "Resisting evil and injustices in whatever forms they present themselves," which is part of our baptismal covenant. And as I was meeting with the lectionary group on Monday, obviously we were reflecting on this Sunday's text, and one of my classmates from Divinity School, she's like, "Hey, I even have that t-shirt on today," as we were talking about what it means to come on this baptismal Sunday. I opted for a stole instead to keep it keep it consistent. But in my heart and mind, I'm wearing this t-shirt because we will come to the water shortly. But there's something about baptism that is very important for us. I know that many of you may have been baptized as infants, that you may not remember your baptism. I know that there are some who have been baptized at an age where they remember, whether it is at elementary age or middle school age or even in adulthood. And I know some of you maybe were baptized much later, but there is no time constraint on when you can receive the gift of baptism and incorporate it into the family of God. Right? There's no expiration date on the gift of grace offered to us through baptism. But there is something that shifts in us because of this incorporation into the family of God, because we come to the water, because we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so oftentimes you will hear us say, water washed and spirit born. Because we know that John the Baptist was preparing the way for people to come and prepare to hear the good news of Jesus. So John had come out of the wilderness and was baptizing people. And we hear more detailed accounts of what this looked like in some of the other gospels. This one doesn't tell us a whole lot unless we read backwards a little bit. But John the Baptist is basically saying, repent of your sin. Be washed in the water, which would have been a ritualistic practice of being purified, to be made holy, to be prepared to be in the presence of God. But John also proclaimed, beware that the one who comes after me will baptize you with fire and spirit. That there is a deeper level of baptism that comes from Jesus that was not offered by John, but they go hand in hand. Because John baptized with water and Jesus baptized with the refining spirit. And that is what incorporates us into this beautiful family of God, where we claim our identity as God's beloved children. And it's very difficult, because how many of you have had your ears and eyes attuned to what's been happening in the world this week? Yeah. There are often times when clergy persons will prepare for their sermons, and then Saturday night they scrap the whole thing. I mean, it's true, because, you know, one of the things that we are told is, as persons responsible for proclaiming a word to God's people, is to have the newspaper in one hand and scripture in the other. That we are interpreting the season in which we find ourselves through the lens of Jesus, through the lens of being part of God's family because we've been incorporated by our baptisms. That we remember the promises upon which we make. And I find myself reading Substack often. And so there is a wonderful person by the name of Diana Butler Bass. And she's, so oftentimes we focus on the negative and point out all the faults things. But she's made a commitment specifically to look for the goodness of God in the midst of the hard things. And so today, I share her words with you, because they speak very poignantly to the time and season that we're in, because she has articulated it in a way that I myself have not been able to do justice, and I hope that you will humor me as I share this with you. So this was written by Diana Butler Bass. It's called Sunday Musings, Baptism of Solidarity. To set this up, today is the first Sunday after Epiphany. On this day, Christians also celebrate the feast of the baptism of our Lord. For you see, the story of the wise men has ended. They are following that other road home, and the season of Epiphany has begun. The winter season of light, the time of revelation, and the showing forth of glory. At every turn in the next few weeks, light will be encountered with questions and encounters danger. This first Sunday after the Epiphany is celebrated as the baptism of Jesus and is the major baptism day. in liturgical churches, a joyful time for children and new believers to be brought into community through a ritual of water, oil, and candlelight. And yet it is hard to write about baptism this week, because here in the country where I live, meaning the U.S., evil has manifested itself in startling and obvious displays of corruption, deception, entitlement, greed, hubris, inhumanity, violence, and murder. Such things are always in the world. Such things often remain hidden from view, but the glass is cracked, and we see behind the mirror. So she has a podcast that is talking about a new phase of this project, and we've shifted into a reality of terror. And here we come to find a word of hope amongst the church. And thus, the church year arrives at Jesus' baptism, and she writes, "Honestly, I am tempted to despair and say, who cares? But baptism, that happy event of smiling families and cute crying babies, cake at the coffee hour, what in the world does it have to do with anything?" That's when I remembered the series of questions at the opening of the baptismal liturgy, questions that would have been asked at my own baptism more than a half century ago, questions that have in some form been asked for centuries through the history of Christianity, the same questions that we will ask Tana in a few moments. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Yes, yes, yes. I renounce Satan and spiritual forces of wickedness. I renounce the evil powers of this world that murder the creatures of God. I renounce anything that draws me away from love. Yes, I renounce them. Satan, evil, and all that is not love. The three renunciations before baptism, the first words from generations of those who have come to water's edge to follow for forgiveness, for whatever reason, to be sprinkled with grace, dunked in mercy, named and washed by divine love. And the rite starts with repudiating the devil and evil and sin. We don't talk much about Satan and evil and not love very much in mainline Protestant churches. It has been thus for a long time, as long as she can remember, but they remain the beginning of our life in community and our life with God. So I find myself, and I hope you do as well, repeating the renunciations today and moving forward every time we turn on the news. Military incursions and bombings, I renounce them. A big lie and an insurrection defended by Orwellian propaganda, I renounce them. Masked state agents rounding up human beings like animals and shooting those who protest, I renounce them. I renounce them all. I'm in a mood to renounce Satan, evil, and sin on every street corner and on any podcast, and even to people in the grocery store. We need serious renunciations right now. The renunciations aren't vaguely spiritual or metaphorical. These rejections of evil are followed by five practical vows of solidarity and community with others. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of the bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These are the things to do. Markers on that road home, actions that we take. If Satan and evil and sin are more real than symbolic, so are justice, peace, and love. At baptism, the turning away from evil opens the path toward a renewed self and commitments of compassion for others. Rejecting evil isn't enough. Embracing love is the journey. When Jesus showed up to be baptized, John was surprised. He didn't want to baptize Jesus. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus insisted. Why? He sure as heck didn't need to be baptized to get himself saved or to go to heaven. Instead, he put himself with the rest of us at the riverbank to be baptized. To reject evil and turn toward love was a radical act of solidarity with us. Those who arrive at the river confused, hurting, angry, afraid, or even terrified. Perhaps on our own, perhaps carried by others, but there outside of any religious building at this oasis in the desert, Jesus stood with and for us. Needing those waters as we do, to open the way for the kingdom of God, to create a road for, as Isaiah promised, justice for the nations. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him with us. I renounce Satan, evil, and sin. I vow to live with humility and love, working for justice and peace for all. And Jesus came up from the water, there's a miracle, a dove, a voice, a naming. This is my son, my beloved. God's love made manifest to Jesus, wrapped in God's belovedness. We tend to fixate on miracles, but the miracle only happened because Jesus stood in solidarity with us. And that solidarity raises the question, if Jesus stood with us and for us, weren't God's words also for all of us? With Jesus, we are named beloved of God. Jesus, us, all at that river, beloved. Solidarity is that. We stand together. We are one, God with us, Emmanuel, unity with the sacred, with divine intention and purpose. Renounce, down Satan, evil, and sin into that river. Be overcome by the waters. Rise, the skies open, the spirit descends, the river overflows its banks. The world is beloved of God. Jesus is beloved. You are beloved. All are beloved. I need that epiphany. Turn from evil. Turn toward love. Renunciation gives us a way forward, something to do together. As insisted by the ancient prophet, see, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Today, sisters and brothers, we come to be reminded that we are beloved and made new by the baptismal waters and the refining spirit of the Holy God, now and forever. Amen.